We're looking at Ephesians chapter 5 today. Ephesians chapter 5, we're going to begin in verse 15. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15. We're in a section here in this book of Ephesians where Paul is talking about the Christian life. He's contrasted the old ways with the new ways, the old man with the new man. And he has gotten very specific about the kind of life that Christians are to live and the kind of life that we are to stay away from as children of God. There's a great deal in this section about the morals of Christian people. This needs to be studied. It needs to be taught. And Paul, as we've noticed, doesn't just talk about this in general terms. He gets very specific about the things that we are to do and the things that we're not to do. And we're going to see some more of those details here today as we begin in verse 15. In Ephesians 5, verse 15, Paul said, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil." We have in the King James this word circumspectly. This comes from a word in the Greek, which means exactly, accurately, diligently. So this word does have to do with being careful and conscientious. It does have to do with being strict and following what the Bible says and being conscientious about following what the Bible says. So notice in verse 15 that he says, "See then that you walk circumspectly." Now, we have seen that little word walk many times since we've begun chapter 4 and chapter 5. He's talking about the Christian walk. And here he says that we're to walk accurately. We're to walk diligently. We're not to be careless. We're not to be naive. We're not to walk or live in this world without paying attention to God's word and without being conscientious about it. So this is a very important verse here, not only about worship and about church matters pertaining to doctrine in the church, but this is a passage about our everyday life as well. He says we're not to walk as fools, but as wise. We're not to be naive. We're not to believe anything that we hear. We're not to participate in anything just because other people do it. We're not to be fools. We're to be wise. And part of being wise is what he talks about in verse 16. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Use the time well. Buy it up. Take advantage of opportunities because we have so little time. The Bible says your life is like a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. James 4, verse 14. The Bible says in Job chapter 14, verse 1, that man that is born of woman is of few days and full of trouble. The Bible says, don't boast yourself of tomorrow because you do not know what a day may bring forth. So every day we have opportunities. We have opportunities to pray. We have opportunities to study the Bible. We many times have opportunities to speak a good word to other people or do a good deed for other people. We have opportunities to spread the gospel as Christian people many times and to encourage other Christians. We have all kinds of opportunities. But the main thing that Paul says to do here is to be wise about this because your life is quickly getting away from you. And so take advantage of every day. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Wherefore, don't worry about tomorrow, because tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." Sometimes we summarize or we make a comment on what Jesus said in Matthew 6, verse 34, by saying that we're to live one day at a time. But the longer that you live, and especially the longer that you live the Christian life, with the burdens and the heartaches and the trials that we face, the more that you begin to say, not just that we're to live one day at a time, but you start saying, I'm going to live 1 hour at a time and even 1 minute at a time. Use the time that God has given you today. Use the time that you have right now, in the next minute, in the next few minutes. This is the way that Christian people learn to think, because we don't have the promise of another hour, much less the promise of another day. The Bible says in Galatians 6, verse 10, "As we therefore have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith." Even Jesus commented on the limited time that he had here on this earth. In John chapter 9, verse 4, he said, "I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night comes when no man can work." And how true that is. Notice that he says in verse 16 of Ephesians 5 that we're to redeem the time for this reason, because the days are evil. There is so much evil in the world. And if we don't take up our time and use our time and fill our days with doing good, the devil is just waiting for us. If we're idle and we don't know what we're going to do from one minute to the next, if we're just open to the world to see what is going to happen instead of making plans or at least having the commitment to seek God and to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, then there is a lot of evil that is just waiting to use our time and to take up our time and to fill our mind if it's idle. The old saying, "An idle mind is the devil's workshop," is so very true. So redeem the time, because the days are evil. And in verse 17 he says, "Wherefore be ye not unwise." That goes back to verse 15, where he said, "See then that you walk circumspectly, know what you're doing, and be careful. Be conservative about how you live your life. Don't live as fools, but as wise." In verse 17, he says, "Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." Now, this shows again that we can and we ought to understand what God's will is. There are people today that say, "I don't read the Bible because it's just too hard. I've tried to read the Bible," and maybe they've tried somewhat, but they haven't tried enough, and they use that excuse, "Well, I just don't understand it. I don't know that anybody does understand it," and they make all kinds of excuses. This passage says that we're to understand the will of the Lord. Now, remember earlier as we studied this book, what Paul said in Ephesians chapter 3? In Ephesians 3, verse 3, Paul said how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. So Paul said, "I wrote words, and when you read those words, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ." So the Bible plainly teaches that we can understand the Bible. And the requirement, the qualification for understanding the Bible is not a lot of education. It's not a lot of intelligence. It's honesty. It is humility. It is a desire to know the will of God. And if we have that desire, like Jesus said, if we hunger and thirst after righteousness, we shall be filled. Paul said, don't be unwise, and he's talking to Christian people here. Don't be naive. Be discerning. And as Paul says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 21 and 22, "Prove or test all things. Hold fast that which is good, but abstain from all appearance of evil." Now then, let's go to Ephesians 5, verse 18. Here is where Paul gives another specific about what we are not to do as Christians. Here's something that we are to avoid. He says, "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." Now, add that to the list of things that Paul said that Christian people are not to do, and you've got a good list. You've got a good start of things that should never be named among Christian people. As we go back to chapter 4, remember that he said that we're not to lie, we're not to lose our temper, we're not to steal, we're not to use bad language, we're not to be bitter and hateful toward each other. In chapter 5, he said we're not to commit fornication, uncleanness, covetousness, and again, we're not to use bad language in Ephesians 5, verse 4. Now he adds, don't be drunk with wine. Christians are warned throughout the Scriptures to avoid this. In Proverbs chapter 20, verse 1, the Old Testament says that wine is a mocker, and strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. In Proverbs chapter 23, beginning in verse 29, Solomon said, "Who has woe? Who has sorrow? Who has contentions? Who has babbling? Who has wounds without cause? Who has redness of eyes? They that tarry long at the wine, they that go to seek mixed wine. Look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it gives his color in the cup, when it moves itself aright. At the last, it bites like a serpent, and it stings like an adder. Thine eyes shall behold strange women, and thine heart shall utter perverse things. Yea, thou shalt be as he that lies down in the midst of the sea, or as he that lies upon the top of a mast. They have stricken me, thou shalt say, and I was not sick. They have beaten me, and I felt it not. When shall I awake? I will seek it yet again." The oldest and the most widespread drug problem in the history of mankind is alcohol. The Old Testament warns about it. The Old Testament condemns it. The New Testament warns about this, and the New Testament condemns it. And when you look carefully at what Solomon says here, you notice that Solomon is not just talking about getting drunk or intoxicated, because he says in verse 31, "Look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it gives his color in the cup." Now, what does he say to do when you see a cup of wine? Just a cup, the first cup. He says, "Don't look upon it." That is, don't look upon it and long for it. Stay away from it. And the New Testament makes that even clearer, because in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 3, the Bible not only condemns drunkenness, it condemns drinkings. And there is a specific word found there that refers to that. So what you find in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11, and Galatians 5, 19 through 21, is that drunkenness is a sin that keeps people out of heaven. And what we have to go back and remember in our minds is that Paul is talking to these Ephesian people here. They were living in the city of Ephesus. And Ephesus was like Corinth and Rome and many other New Testament places, in that the city of Ephesus had much worldliness and immorality in it. It was full of sin. That's why Paul tells these Christians that they cannot do those things, even if they used to do them before they were baptized. That's why he warns these people and tells them in chapter 4, not to lie, not to lose your temper, not to steal, not to use bad language. That's why he tells them in chapter 5 that they're not to commit fornication, that they're not to be covetous. And that's why he tells them here that they're not to be drunk with wine. It was very common in that day and age, just like it's very common today. But Christians have to be different. And Paul says, don't be drunk with wine. Stay away from it. And he says, don't be drunk with wine wherein is excess. The word excess in the King James Version is oftentimes misunderstood, because here's the way that many people reason wrongly about that word. They say, well, Paul talks about excess, and so that means that as long as I don't drink to excess, as long as I drink in moderation, then there's nothing wrong with that. And they have totally misunderstood what that word means. The word excess there means riot. It means wild living. It means carousing. It means the bad kind of behaviors that go along with alcohol. He's not talking here about the amount of alcohol that a person drinks. The word excess there doesn't have anything to do with how much the person drinks or even the state of intoxication. It is talking about what a person does after he drinks. And notice here in verse 18 that Paul does the same thing with these other warnings about sin, in that he not only talks about what we're not to do, but he gives the positive side about what we are to do. That is, don't be drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, the same Spirit that he said earlier in this book that these people, Christian people, are sealed with.